At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson.
Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul
on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Got a special one for you. One-on-one, 93.7 The Ticket. 402-464-5685. We're live. And if you want to be a part of what we're doing, you can text in to the Sarda Hammy text line. Questions, NFL, Huskers, sports in general,
anything.
We go down a rabbit hole, but we'll have a segment where we kind of bounce around, and then we will have a special guest join us in segment two, Mikey Daniel, formerly of the Huskers, formerly of the Panthers, Falcons, etc. South Dakota State's finest. We can talk about a lot of things about as we head into a countdown to kickoff.
Yep. You can even ask us what our favorite color is. Well, I'll answer.
Do you know the answer to your question? Do you know the answer to what your favorite color is?
It's a toss. I would say I really like the light baby blue. I really like that color, but I don't know. Since coming to Nebraska, I mean, red's kind of just like, I feel like I almost have to say red, right?
Coming to Nebraska?
I mean, like coming to UNL is one.
Okay.
I was coming to UNL.
I was going to say, were you somewhere else?
No,
I
meant coming to UNL. Of? Nope.
Okay, yep. All right.
But I would say the baby blue, the white baby blue. That's my favorite color. I think it looks really cool. What about you?
And it's a cool thing. That's a cool thing for you. You're looking for cool points. Okay. Wasn't sure that was really a thing, but I'm going to take your word for it, Ben. I'm really going to take your word for it.
Well, you said we could talk about anything, so there we go.
We really can, because that's part of the deal, is that we especially in segment one, I can tell you, segment one will be a little bit shorter, so we can spend time with Mikey when he gets here, because Mikey's got lots to talk about, and I think he has a real future in the sports talk space. He's living a life that has been interesting, and certainly can share some insight on how things are and why things are the way they are, whether it be in college football, pro football, along the way. I do want to pick his brain. Mm-hmm. On several franchises. He spent time in Carolina. I'd like to know what that was like. I can ask him about coaching from an up-close perspective, a chance to ask questions on how things really work. I make zero assumption that I know everything about anything.
You can't know everything. I feel like you can't know everything about something.
Yeah, And sometimes it's just getting to the right question. Bill and Bennett asked the question, are you guys expecting to see much from Carter Nelson this season? Now, when it comes to this sort of thing, one, you're guessing. Anybody that would say that they expect a thing that you haven't seen, you're guessing that you will see it.
And yeah,
there could be arrows pointing towards it. But if you tell me that a freshman combo tight end wide receiver is going to be a big factor in Nebraska's season, especially early in the season, I'm going to ask you, what did you do with the rest of your receiver room? What does that tell me about the talent in the room? Like, we had this discussion, was he a better high school receiver than Malachi Coleman? And we saw the space between being a star in Lincoln Public Schools and being a star in the Big Ten Conference. We saw the difference, and we also know that the Big Ten Conference got a little bit deeper. Right? It got a little deeper, got a little better, a little bit more athletic. So I tell people this all the time, that I'm not in the prognostication business. I try to stay out of it, because so much of what we expect from Carter Nelson, what you saw in high school is wonderful. But the measuring stick and the gap between what you saw from Malachi Coleman as a senior at Lincoln, in Lincoln, versus what he looked like against Big Ten talent, with two of those teams being national championship tournament Final Four teams, there's a big, huge leap. And then you added, oh, by the way, you added Oregon. You added Washington, mm-hmm. who was also in that conversation. You added USC, which from a talent standpoint is as loaded and as depth with as much resources as anybody in the country. And then UCLA, oh, the neighbor down the street that people want to disrespect, but you have DeShaun Foster. And I can tell you, anybody that's ever met DeShaun Foster will never say that a DeShaun Foster team is not going to be qualified, well-coached, and talented. mm-hmm. He's just that dude. I mentioned we had a special guest, and I want to bring him in now. Let's introduce you all once again to Mikey Daniel. Coach, what's happening, baby?
Going, man.
There we go.
Thanks for having me down.
No, this is kind of the way I like doing some of these projects, because often we find talented people in the space, and they have something to add and they have something to offer. You have been around so many programs at different levels and in different spaces,
right?
That anytime something happens in college, high school, college, or pro football, you have some direct experience with. You have direct knowledge of.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely a student of the game and just been blessed to be around, like you said, a lot of good programs. You know, back to even when I was playing at South Dakota State, if you look at what they're doing right now, that's becoming a juggernaut in the FCS. You know, two-time national championship, won 22 straight games, sending guys to the league every year, and then obviously playing under Coach Rule in Carolina, but before that, starting with the Atlanta Falcons and under Dan Quinn. Just watching all those guys day in and day out and just becoming a student of the game, and then having the opportunity to be on staff here at the University of Nebraska under Coach Rule again, was awesome, man. So, yeah.
Full disclosure, a part of the issue with Mikey is that there's zero chance we could ask him every question that we need to ask him over the course of an hour.
Right.
So, yeah. So I've tried to convince Mikey that Mikey needs his own show. And, yeah. And as a matter of fact, he needs several shows because there's several different facets. There are a lot of tentacles to this young man.
Right.
So in order to expose it and to kind of get people familiar, Coach, I'll ask you this because they always say, the GPS requires that we dictate where you were.
Right.
And we all stand on the shoulders of some amazing people. So yep. For you to get to college required a community of people.
Mm-hmm.
Who were the leaders, parents, coaches, community folks to help you get to college?
Yeah, my mom was everything to me. With my father not really in the picture, you know, my mom really kind of wore both hats. My stepdad, he was also a student of the game. And even though our relationship might not have been the greatest, he still knew football and helped me get to that place. So I found guidance in some of the coaches along the way. Just been blessed. And especially as I got into college, it helped me really flourish as I got there. But my mom, truthfully, was rock solid. My older brother kind of doubled as like a dad to me. He's 4 years older than me. Mm-hmm. But he kind of paved the way a little bit before me, and then kind of just showed me the ropes. Like, I'm going to IMG Academy down in South Florida. And my brother, he was working at Papa John's or something in high school. And he'll send me money just to get school shoes, or he'll send, you know what I mean? So he was a big part of that. Just my family supported me like crazy, so it was a blessing.
Some of the people I know in IMG, I've sent players down to IMG Academy. So for folks that do not know, try to describe IMG Academy as a program, because it's a different thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's an absolute juggernaut. So it's essentially a college before you go to college. I left home 15, 16 years old. I'm staying in the dorms. I'm down there by myself, you know, with the other athletes. It's an athlete only school.
Yeah.
And it was also what people are like, oh, well, you just do football. Nah, this is a college prep school, mm-hmm. you know. So the schooling was actually harder there than anywhere else I attended, you know.
Say anywhere.
Yeah, it's no joke. I mean, our school day was shorter because it was a block schedule. You know, we're in there till noon, you know, maybe. But that when we're there, you know what I mean? So we go from there straight to football. We're at football from 1 to 7. you're not going to go down to one of these schools around here and have football from 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock. They just can't do it.
Right.
You have to wait till 4 o'clock when school gets done. And then you get till maybe six, right?
Short window.
So, we were blessed in that situation, obviously one of the best, if not the best training facility in the entire world.
Bradenton, you know, Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't beat it. I mean, we lived an hour away from, or sorry, a mile away from the Gulf of Mexico. So, come on. Yeah.
give us a roll call. Some of the teammates, folks who have played at IMG.
Oh man, it goes on and on. But most recently, JC Latham, he was a top eight pick to Tennessee Titans this last year. Grant Delpit, he's with the
Browns. I caught Delpit when he was in high school in Houston before he went to IMG Academy. So, you know,
when I was there, I played with Michael O'Connor. He was our quarterback. He was a 4-star, went to Penn State. And then the big name, Bo Scarborough, 5-star running back that went to Alabama, and he was every bit of 5-star. You know, he was head and heels to the guy.
Tell me about, because people, when they talk recruiting, you have to talk region and area.
Mm-hmm.
And that South Dakota, it being in such a unique place and space, but producing higher levels of talent than probably the population should allow.
Right.
What is it? What's happening with South Dakota?
I think the guys just kind of get it. They have a different mentality. They're going to go on to work. As far as true athleticism, you're not going to see it like you would Florida, California, Texas, right? Let's call a spade, but what you have is guys who are willing to do things that those quote unquote star athletes won't do. You know, if I'm a 5-star caliber athlete, most of them aren't going to work the same way this guy is, getting up at 4 a.m., going to throw his hay around, you know, working on the farm, and then going to school, and then doing football. So they just put in a different caliber of work than the rest of the country, I believe.
Was that your experience? That you were you a farm kid? Were you how would you describe living in South Dakota?
No, I couldn't tell you anything about a farm. I'll tell you, I'm from Seattle originally, so I had just got plucked and put down in there.
What part of Seattle? What
I was born in Kirkland.
Okay.
But all I kind of lived all over. I lived Bellevue, you know, Everett, Mukilteo, just all over the place over there.
Are you familiar with rain?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Rain is, yeah.
And I'm not a fan of it.
Renton. Renton. The correct way to say Renton is Renton.
Yeah, Renton. Yeah.
So I know the area.
Yeah.
As well, talent kind of working itself. When did you know that, okay, the next level thing is available to me, and what were you going to have to do to get
it? Yeah, and that's exactly it, right? So I started getting nationally noticed my freshman year. And at that point, I was in South Dakota, and I started going to these camps, and I started to really rise nationally. I'm balling at all these little camps here and there, going to Indianapolis, and I'm taking home the top running back, go to Oklahoma to finish in top two, right? So I said, okay, I got to do something. If I'm really going to be about this, I have to go compete with those who are really about it. And so that's why I was blessed with the opportunity to get a scholarship from IMG Academy, go down there and play. And I was chomping at the bit to do that because for me to know if I was really him, I had to go against those who are quote unquote them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stacked up. I saw, hey, I'm not a 5-star. And I saw that, like I said, Bo Scarborough was a true 5-star. Me, I was a 3-star. Mm-hmm. And that in its own is great. I had an opportunity to go to the NFL still with that 3-star. And so, yeah, I just knew that I needed to challenge myself, and play with the best if I really wanted to be one of the best.
Through all of that, and then deciding that having choices, why South Dakota State?
You know, I was really set. I loved Nebraska. I really did. Once Bo Pelini got let go, Mike Riley came in, never had a conversation with me, not one. And so Nebraska, actually my sophomore year, was the first school to ever visit me. They came and visited me at school my sophomore year. Which at that time was kind of crazy because they're not really going to see sophomores in high school. You know, they're starting to do it now where they get into like eighth grade and stuff like that, which is, you know,
a whole other conversation.
That's a whole conversation. Yeah. But at that time,
not too many
people were getting visited as sophomore, you know, especially from a Power Five, University of Nebraska. So Barney Cotton, he came and visited me. And I was set. Like, I was like, I'm all about this. I was super set on them. And then they just, like I said, dropped me off the board. at that point, I had Army left. It was so late in the process, and they were like, "Hey, I mean, you can walk on." That's South Dakota State, so I was like, "So I did." And I always told them I'm going to Nebraska. Like, I went to a South Dakota State visit wearing Nebraska gear, and me and my young self, you know, that's super arrogant, crazy, right? Why would I do that? But I didn't know at that time. Nobody was guiding me,
right?
I'm just trying to. My mom didn't know what kind of juggernaut she was getting herself into.
Why Nebraska?
I'm super loyal.
Yeah,
and so for whatever reason, when Barney came and visited me, like, that just sunk in.
Said it all.
And then when I came and visited, I'm just like, this is it. Like, my mom, my brother, we were on the sideline for a spring game.
Yeah.
And it's rolling. It's D is sold out in the spring game. It's a beautiful day. This is when balloons could still go off.
Right.
So balloons start flying, and I was just like, this is home.
This is it.
You know, this is home. God foreshadowed it, right? I didn't play here, but I turned around to come back and work here. So
it the universe never misses.
Never does.
It never misses. Mikey Daniel, former Husker assistant, he was on the staff here in a bit, and then from South Dakota State. I think it's fascinating that you end up back here.
Yeah.
And there's several things in play for that. One, we talk about the shoulders that we stand on, but we also have to talk about the real heart and soul of it all. Your wife.
Yeah.
Your family. Tell us about who the family is.
Yeah, my wife, Kenzie, man, she's my rock. She's dope. She's from here. She's from Lincoln. And so when I had got done playing, actually I was in the USFL and was going to continue to go on, was talking to the Cowboys because Dan Quinn was there.
Yeah.
And so I got knocked out in a football game, and my wife was pregnant at the time with our daughter, Kalesi. And she said, "Hey, you're done, right?" I'm like, "Well, you know," she's like, "No, you're done." It was more of a statement than a question. Yeah, so I picked it up, right? Yeah. And I was like, "All right, cool." She's like, "Listen, we can move back to Lincoln. You know, that's where I'm from." So we ended up doing that. Again, the universe don't miss. And then lo and behold, Coach Rule happens to get let go out in Carolina and blessed me with an opportunity to go work under him. And that was cool, man. Coach Rule, if you could see what he's doing, this program is going places.
Yeah.
Like, I say that with the utmost respect for him, and I say that with confidence that they're going. Like, they're going.
I think so many listeners want a reason to co-sign.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they need somebody to co-sign, but they need a reason to join in. And we always tell fan bases, okay, we ask the question, are you leaning in and why?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you leaning away? And
right.
Nebraska's recent history is one where they lean away because they've been burnt.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're kind of starting to lean, and they want confirmation.
Yeah.
Of why. What's happening that's going to allow them to lean in? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to reset with Coach Mikey Daniel. And we're going to talk about the things that are going to have to happen for Nebraska to be the best version of themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll do that here. One-on-one, 93.7 The Ticket.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP. Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Let's bring it back. One-on-one, DP, Coach Mikey Daniel. We appreciate him giving time, and it's going to be a whole other thing, right? That insight is important. Knowledge, actually, I had to explain this to somebody yesterday, that knowledge is actually knowing.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually knowing. It's one thing to guess and assume.
Yeah.
And speculate. Mm-hmm. It's another to know what's going on in the facility, to know what it's like to go through camp, to know from the player standpoint what it's like to go through that process of trying to measure yourself, figuring out how much work needs to be done, who can you follow, who you need to get away from. All of those things are in play. And so, Mikey, I think it's important that over the course of as many of these conversations as you're willing to have, that we have them.
Yeah.
And I know I started with who you are and where you're from because that sets the GPS. But I also know, and Husker fans, I'm going to say this to you so you fully get it. Coach Daniel is somebody that we're going to have several different types of conversation with.
Right.
that one, there's no chance that in the course of an hour, I can ask him every question and cover everything that I want to cover, even that day, even in that hour.
Yeah.
We'll do our best. But in full explanation, to talk to you and not talk about faith and what it means to you and why you're able to process the way you are is faith.
Yeah.
100%.
So absolutely.
Where does that come from and what does it mean to you?
That comes from him and him alone.
Yeah.
And when I say I didn't grow up in the church, and it wasn't until I had got released from the Atlanta Falcons and I was spiraling downhill and God came for me, man. Like, I'll just call it what it is. He said, hey, you're mine. You know,
give me the detail of the spiral, because it's in the story. That is the glory, right? In the glory. So break down the spiral.
Yeah. Well, you know, so at 24 years old.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I'm doing things that my family's never seen.
Good and bad.
Right. but when you get to that place and nobody has seen it before you and you don't have that father figure or whoever that is dialing it in.
Knowledge.
Right. Knowledge or you know, just discipline.
Yeah.
And you say, hey, you take a poor black kid and you say, hey, you're going to sign a $2.3 million contract at 24 years old. I'm at Todd Gurley's house. I'm hanging with Calvin Ridley. You know what I mean? And I'm Julio Jones, right? Superstars. And so at that point, now I'm untouchable.
Can't tell you
nothing. In my mind, you can't tell me nothing. And nobody's there locking it in. Right? That's just what it is. And so I had to get let go. God said, hey, I gotta let you go because you ain't ready
for
this. And this is before I knew who God really was. Yeah. Right. And so I'm spiraling, you know. I got released. I was gonna be a practice squad guy. They ended up keeping a fourth quarterback. You know, they had signed my guy, my mentor, Keith Smith, Beef.
Yeah.
He played 10 years in the league. This is gonna be his first year out if he doesn't get picked up. They signed him the year before for $3 million, right? One year, $3 million contract, something like that. As a fullback, you're not gonna go in there and uproot that, right? You're not going to. So the next best thing is, okay, can I get practice squatted or can I do enough special teams wise that I'm on this 53? And so when I got released, it's a numbers game in the NFL, right? They said, hey, we need to keep another quarterback. Matt Ryan was older. I think that was his last season there before he went on to Indianapolis. So we need to keep another one. They had Matt Schaub, also an older guy. Awesome dude.
Veteran OG.
He was super cool, man. Me and him, like, we used to chop it up. He's super smart.
UVA, man. He's from Charlottesville, baby. Yeah. You can't even sniff getting in UVA
right.
Without the high IQ.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when I got let go, I was just like, man, everything I ever wanted was right here, right? Like, I'm able to do things. Like, I bought my mom a bed, and that meant a lot because she didn't necessarily always, like, there's times she had just a mattress on the floor, right? So I said, okay, let me buy my nice, really nice bed. And like, I'm doing things that, like I said, I never thought I'd do. And then it was taken. So when that got taken, I was crushed. You know, I was like, I had everything I ever wanted, I got, but I lost it. So at 24 years old, I had to find myself. I didn't find myself, though. It wasn't until, like I said, God said, hey, I am who I say I am. Yeah. You know, the Holy Spirit came on me. So whether you believe in God or not, great. And I didn't until that point.
Well, everybody has their own journey.
Yeah.
And everybody hears the voice in whatever voice they choose to hear it.
Yeah.
In,
yep.
Right. And sometimes it's that little thing whispering you to go, stay, move, don't move, love, love more.
Right.
Like, it's all those things. And then you say, okay, I'm doing it. I'm given exposure. He puts you in high circles.
Yeah.
Like some high spaces so that you have knowledge. And when you said a thing, and I've heard my brother say it, that he tries to stay away from saying that something was taken away, because once you know it, you can't forget it.
Right.
You can't unknow it.
Right.
You understand what it takes to get there.
Yep.
You know how hard you had to work. You know the sacrifices you had to make, and you also know the payoff. And still, even after friction, you got success again.
Right. Yeah.
In serving.
Yep.
I say this all the time, and correct me if I'm wrong. Coaching is service. When done right, it's service.
Right.
Fair?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how, if that's not your mindset when you're going in, then I don't really want you as a coach. Because if you worried about, I'm not worried about me. I've done what I did. Like, this is no longer about me and stroking my ego. It's about can I get you to where you want to go, and how can I make you the best version of yourself? It has nothing to do with me anymore, other than I'm developing now as a mentor in that role, as opposed to the mentee.
So you can help more.
That's it. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for each other, right? So that's keeping it the main thing.
Oh, man. So through all of this, right, that being in the room with great players, being around great coaches, and you start to identify what it is that works for you and what you do. I'll ask you this, because most coaches coach the way they wanted to be coached or needed to be coached.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you either say, I was coached and I'm going to be opposite of this coach, or I want to be just like this coach.
Yeah.
For you, who's the coach that you want to be like? Like the one that you go, yeah, I can do this way.
See, and I don't have a single one. I have really four that are like, these are, and I took in myself, I created a culmination of the four of them. Zach Lujan, who was my quarterback when I was in college, and then became our offensive coordinator. Like, he became a running back coach at South Dakota State. I also had John Johnson, who really helped me mature as a man. Like, me and him are still super close to this day. Jimmy Beal also. I went through four running back coaches in 5 years at South Dakota State in my 4.5 seasons. Why? Because South Dakota State produces. So when you produce, they go get the next big job, right? And so that was a cool thing for them. And then the next big one is Jeff Nixon. He is now the offensive coordinator for Syracuse. He was my running back coach in Carolina. And then this last season, he was the running back coach for the New York Giants. So I was a big Saquon fan. And he obviously was his coach last year.
And I'm so, just in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about Saquon.
my God.
Like, we're gonna talk about all that, right?
Yeah.
Through all of that.
Yeah.
Do you coach the same as you play?
I think so. I think that there's times where I'll get hard with the guys. Certain guys will need it, right? But also, it's not necessarily coaching the way I wanted to be coached, but coaching the way somebody needs to be coached, or being taught the way they need to be taught. Like, I can't talk to Gabe Irvin the way I talk to Emmett Johnson, the way I talk to Jamari Butler, the way, you know what I mean? You can't talk to them all the same way.
See, these are all the seeds that are being planted, because as we have these conversations over the next couple of weeks, right, it is those things.
Right.
Because who they are means that you were present enough to figure out who they were.
Right.
And that you'll be able to let fans know, you know what? This is how this young man works. Because I guarantee you, there are things that you know about these young men that fans just can't wait to know.
Yeah.
And we need to give it enough time to have the conversations about running back game, receivers, recruiting, maintenance, academic work.
Yeah.
All of those things, right?
Yeah.
Because it all plays a part of it. And through that, your ability to focus on the task at hand. The real problem at Nebraska currently is that there's so many tasks at hand that need to be filled. We always say in this business, we say that you can tell the state of the union of a program, team, organization by the number of questions you have about
it.
And Nebraska has questions.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with saying they have questions.
Yep.
But there are things that we know and there's things we think we know.
Right. And, you know, that's one thing I want. Okay, you're hitting it right now, because that's one thing I really need people to understand. If we say we have the best fan base in the country, then let's be that, right? Yeah. What does that mean? It means that if we say, oh, we're all Go Big Red till we die, that's amazing, right? Because I love Jeff Sims, right? And Jeff Sims struggled here. And I believe that was a product of a couple of things, but that's neither here nor there. So why am I hitting on this? We go to Minnesota, we lose in a close game, first game of the year.
Brutal.
We go to Colorado, we're still struggling, and we're the better team in both those two games. We're the better team.
And so I Nebraska like that you says, said that. I like that you said that.
What does Nebraska say? We say, oh, okay. Oh, well, here we go again. And right, you instantly drop the ball. This is a long season. This is the Chiefs lost the first game last year. The Lions. The Chiefs were struggling all year and still went on to win the Super Bowl.
They lost like against the Raiders in like a primetime game too towards the end of the season.
The Raiders.
And the Raiders weren't good last year.
The Raiders.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's what I'm saying. We come home.
Some of it's the trauma.
1,000%. Right? I get it.
But it's also, this is what you say, I've always been told that Husker football is the religion here.
Yeah.
So have faith. Like, and you having faith means you have to show faith.
And even more so than that, because these guys love the Nebraska faith.
Yeah.
Like, these players love their fans. They really do. They do as much as they possibly can to be out and show face and do as, you know, if you ever meet any of those guys, they're never standoffish. They're always the most polite.
Well, we're going to introduce a whole lot of folks.
Absolutely.
We're going to introduce a whole lot of folks.
Right. And they don't want to let people down, right? So the hardest thing is, right, if we come home, we struggle. Say we struggle against UTEP. We can't be out here booing these guys. Like, that weighs on these kids.
I don't even understand booing.
I've
said this on this station that I've never, especially seriously booed.
Right.
Like, I've mock booed, like, a friend of mine. Like, boo that man, because my dude did a thing that was really silly.
Yeah.
But booing your own,
I don't even
understand.
Yeah.
Like, why you show up to get the opportunity to be heard and to choose to be heard with venom.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Yeah. And everyone has an opinion. And that's great. Everyone can have an opinion. But, like, if I hear, oh, why did Jeff make this throw? And, you know, I can see that. Well, you watch it from your couch. Yeah, you can see the coverage up there. Everybody can. You don't understand that things happen in less than a blink of an eye. You don't understand that he was looking at the dig route that came behind the post that came, and you didn't see that this guy dropped in the deep third. Right? You're not watching those things at this, all with having these guys at 6'5 in your face. Right?
Closed windows, open windows, got a millisecond of making a decision.
Milliseconds, right? You know,
and, oh, by the way, and I said this to somebody last year. I've been saying it for the last couple of years because the last two main quarterbacks both took a lot of hits.
Yeah.
They took a lot of hits. And I said, if you don't understand that Adrian Martinez carried the ball 20-plus times and took shots to the head and had to get back in the huddle with his eyes still rolling around in his brain still shaking, and then he has to make a millisecond decision.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and he got hit from behind, blindsided. Yeah. You have to understand, it's not as simple as people think it is.
Not even close. There was times, man, for me, for example, I'll run the rock. I'll get hit. My eyes are spinning. Like, it looks cartoonish, real talk. Like, when you see their eyes spinning or the little thing going above them, right? That's real talk. I come back to the huddle and I'm just praying. I'm like, I hope they don't call a run because I can't see I don't even know what day it is right now, right? And let alone being a quarterback, like, when I'm running the ball, all I got to do is, okay, I know that this guy's blocking here. I understand the scheme. It's going to come here or here. I'm not reading what he's doing, him doing. No, I'm not doing all that. As a quarterback, you got to sit there and just diagnose.
I've said this for a long time because I think what I love about our listeners pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And why we have former Huskers, former NFL players, former NBA players, is the ability to go inside the helmet, go inside the game, go inside the locker room, go inside the study part.
Yeah.
And I said, the part that we also miss, and we have to be better at recognizing as fans and as media, that for the Huskers, we're talking about recent teenagers. These mm-hmm. are young men.
They're kids.
And we don't know how his calculus course is going.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what his dating life is mm-hmm. like currently.
Mm-hmm.
And to remember what it was like to be 19, 20 years old and have your girl break up with you before a big game, right? There is a burden.
Yeah.
And we talk so freely about them as though they're unbreakable.
Yeah. Oh, man. You're hitting it. I mean, and there's 90,000 people out there, and that's not counting those who are watching on TV, who will have an opinion on Twitter, who are just ripping these guys apart. It's like, yo, I don't come and watch. You're struggling to make a decision on what you want for dinner.
How about that?
I'm not sitting here with 90,000 booing you when you're at home because you open the refrigerator instead of the freezer, right? So it's like, what are we doing? They're kids, dude. They're at, like, their minds are going at 1,000 miles an hour. And again, like I said, they don't want to let people down.
It's the same people who go to McDonald's. They know the menu. They just go stand there and stare at it. They're like, wait a minute. You just criticized somebody avoiding 11 250-pound missiles, and you can't make you. You're the same person who stands in front of your refrigerator open, knowing everything that you put into the refrigerator.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Can you sit here and drop a cover two at super simple coverage?
Oh,
if not, then I don't want you to tell me why Jeff Sims because Dylan's great. He's going to be amazing. But when he has a growing pain, are we going to say, why did he throw that up? Because he's 18 and because this is moving at 1,000 miles an hour. He went from Buford, Georgia to the mecca of college football right now, which is the big, right? Like, which is right here. So. Right. It's going to happen. I can't love him 1 second, hate him the next.
Coach Mikey Daniel is with us. We'll throw it back. We'll come back. We'll close at this hour one-on-one.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Coach Mikey Daniel, again, through all of us, I appreciate you making time on a day to come hang out. And here's the thing you'll find out, and I tell people this all the time, and they don't believe me until I have to tell them. The hour goes quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The hour goes quickly. So, I know you got stuff to do today, but I wanted to at least, get boots to the ground.
Right, yeah.
So we can kind of figure out what this is going to be and how it's going to be. But the lead story, there are two lead stories for Husker football.
Mm-hmm.
One being Coach Rhule and what he's trying to do, what mm-hmm. he's trying to build, and you have direct insight on what you think he's trying to build.
Right.
What is the philosophy? What are the conversation points that go on behind the scenes? Who is Coach Rhule? Why is this going to work?
Because Coach Rhule is so process-driven. Like, he's really about the process. He could care less what you do on Saturday if the week of work isn't what it should be.
Yeah.
The standard is a standard for him as far as everyone else across the board. From his staff, like, there's days, what condition as a staff? We would condition as a staff. Like, hey, get on the line. We're running, right? Like, when we got here, for example, there was just not much detail, not too, no ownership. And through him and his staff and Corey in the weight room and his staff that he's assembled, all the way over to Gus and player development, they're all on the same page, right? They're all process driven. They're all going in the same direction. That's the biggest thing, because from what it seemed like, there was no congruity. There was no we're all going this direction before. I'm not going to speak on the last staff. I wasn't here, so that is what it is. But from what I see is everybody is, this is the goal line. We're all pushing. You know how you can have the Bush push now at the league or whatever. That's what's going on here, right? That's what Coach Rhule has developed, and all the guys from the top down get it. Year one is inserting the process. Okay.
Install.
Yeah, right. That's install. Now your leadership understands it, because if you're a coach led team, which it was before, you're not going to have the success you need, but you have to first lead as a coaching staff, as a, you know, until they get it. Now they get it. Jamari gets it. Ty Robinson gets it. You know, Bryce Benhart gets it. Ben Scott gets it. They get it. Isaiah Garcia. That's a very deep wide receiver room. It's young, but IGC gets it, right? Alex Bullock. They now understand the process, so there is no let off. Malachi coming in, you know, he understands the process. And even though he's young, right, he went through a year of learning the process. So now Ja'Cory, all these other cats that are coming up, he now gets it. He can speak into that, whereas they weren't trying to figure out what it is. They now know what it is.
You know what I mean? Knowledge thing is, it is important.
Right.
Repetition and then depth of knowledge. I'm going to throw a lob here, Coach. I know we said we were going to do an hour. Where do you have to be? You got to be somewhere?
I'm going to go chill with my wife and kids the rest of the day.
I'm going to apologize to her in advance. Can you text her and ask if I can keep you for another hour?
Yeah, we could do it.
We have too much that we can really talk about and dive
right
into.
Yeah.
And I do want to deliver this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because from, and again, it doesn't matter. We always laugh about going down a rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a good rabbit hole, you should probably go down.
Right.
You should probably dig a little bit deep. So here's what we're going to do. That'll be it for this hour. But don't go anywhere. DP, Coach Mikey Daniel, Ben, Big Ben over there running the board with us.
Hello.
We're going to party for another hour. And we're going to let Coach Daniel break it down. I want him to get in. One, let him give a scouting report on the coaching staff. Because there's some dudes that you know.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That can tell you, you know what? This is what they deliver. We can mm-hmm. talk about some of those players
mm-hmm.
and who they are away from what we see on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what we're rooting for.
Absolutely.
Like, it's there. DP, Coach Daniel, we'll be right back to one-on-one.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.